Give them a fish, and they will eat today. Teach them the fish, and they will eat always. Well, okay, but we've caught most of the fish, and the few that are left are being guarded by people with badges. And so we ask, if we teach a person to farm, will they eat always?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1166th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way up there in Elfin Cove who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, we are coming to you today from a city that hosts a large number of people who seem to be in need of help. We also have in this city a large number of people who want to help and who have devised many different ways of helping. Some of those ways seem to help, while others seem to facilitate more needing. One of the best ways to help those in need is to give them some help themselves. As embedded in the folk saying, give them a fish and they will eat today, teach them to fish and they will eat always. Though our little city happens to be situated right next to one of the most fecund bodies of water in the world, our fishermen have caught almost all of the fish, and those fish that are left are tightly guarded by rules, regulations, and people with badges. So we may as well forget about teaching those in need how to fish. But we do have in our city a little patch of land which sits upon which sits the Homeless Garden Project. Wow. Those are three loaded words. Homeless, without a secure place for one to rest. Garden, a piece of earth where one may grow with nature. And project, a task with an objective. Our little city's Homeless Garden Project leads us to ask, can those in need be taught to farm their way out of need? And who better to ask than Anthony Reyes, who is the farm manager for the Homeless Garden Project here in Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the Food Chain, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleased to have you aboard here today. It's always fun to have somebody local to work with. Homeless Garden Project. What exactly is the Homeless Garden Project?
So we are, we are a employment transition training program for people experiencing homelessness in the city of Santa Cruz, and it's people experiencing homelessness and housing instability, and that can look like a lot of different things. And so we run a year-long program on our farm, and through that year, it's training a lot of the hard skills and the soft skills of transitioning back into a job, because that's the reality of a lot of the folks that we're working with, is it's more of a transition back into stable employment than it is an initial training.
So it's kind of like people who have lost out somehow and have lost contact and have lost credentials and have lost everything they need to just get back in, and what you're giving them then is the means to get re-enter.
Exactly. And a lot of the folks that we're working with, it really only takes one small thing, and there's most of the folks in Santa Cruz especially are only living one paycheck away from experiencing homelessness themselves. And so it's really just working alongside our community members who are more instably housed.
There you go. You know, last week I was interviewed by a radio show, and we were talking about survivalists, and the question was, you don't really believe that, do you? That survivalist stuff. And I said, well, I can remember very clearly one day, 20 years ago, this time of year, when I got home from work, and within a moment, it was just a moment, the whole world changed, and there was no groceries. It was an earthquake. First thing we did was we went to the grocery store to get some wine and some diapers and walked in Safeway, and people were laying in the aisles all cut up. and there was no cash registers. So it only takes a moment for the whole world to change. And it's like that for a lot of people. Sometimes it's not an earthquake. Sometimes it's who knows what, but there it is. And so can you think of any other homeless garden projects in the United States?
You know, in with the specific work that we do, I can't think of any other project that who's having the same wraparound service. I think there are organizations that are working with younger people who are experiencing homelessness or housing instability, but there's not as many or there's no organizations that I can really think of that are working with the full age range of people.
There you go. Now, homeless garden project. Now, a project is a task with an objective. What exactly is your objective?
Sure. I find my personally, like I feel the objective is to create an environment in the community where everybody can feel comfortable, and what those comforts are, and that everybody deserves the right to have these basic needs covered and basic needs fulfilled, and to have the means to be able to do that. And I think that's one of the things that the Homeless Garden Projects is really trying to teach people the skills or have people re-engage with those skills that they have that might just otherwise need to be brought forward or like brought forward a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a quick look at Anthony Reyes himself. Now, you were raised in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
On the cement down there in Los Angeles, right?
Lots of cements.
And how is it that you came to be a part of a farm and managing a farm?
Yeah, it was definitely a journey. So I first got involved in the agriculture scene or crop production when I came up to Santa Cruz first to go to school at UC Santa Cruz. And I was studying community studies with this idea that I'm a mixed race male-bodied person, and I really wanted to discover more of like my own place and my own history. And it's something that I'm continuing to learn and redefine and understand. And one of the things that I really wanted to learn about is what exactly learn the agricultural social justice side of like the farm labor movement. And so I started learning more of those theoretical more of the theory, and then I started working with the UC Santa Cruz campus with my hands in the soil, and then it completely shifted my focus from trying to do these more theoretical policy-based work to being on the ground and working direct service with people and alongside people and alongside the community.
Something about having your hands in the soil, right? Now, I asked you this question before the show, which I found most fascinating. So you're from the concrete jungles of Los Angeles. You come up to University of California to study. And then you decide, well, I'm going to be a farmer. What happened when you called home and said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a farmer? What did they say?
So my folks have been very supportive of me throughout all of this. And
oh,
really,
come on, they had to say.
Yeah, I come in with like a lot of this food justice rhetoric and talk a lot about like the labor food chains and the supply chains, and it's always met with my mom specifically sort of like wagging her finger at me and saying that, like, you know, you owe your life to McDonald's, because that's where my folks met at McDonald's. And so it's always something that they love just throwing at me whenever I get too much into that rhetoric. They like to bring me back down and also make me realize and understand more of where my roots are.
And when it gets right down to it, whose roots aren't in the soil?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all came from there sometime not too far in the distant past. We all came from tending the soil and working the soil. And the most frightening thing in the world, to my estimation, is we forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, living in the city as we do, we forget about food. When we get hungry, we swing into the convenience store and walk in there and buy some cheap calories and think that's the end of it. But, wow, what we have to learn. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Anthony Reyes, who's the farm manager for the Santa Cruz Homeless Garden Project. Think of it, Homeless Garden Project. A project is a task with an objective. The objective being to teach people, to give them the self-sufficiency they need to be out of need. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today, folks, we're talking about people who have come to need. And there are a lot of them, especially in our little town here in Santa Cruz, California. People come here from all over the world, I think, because there is a lot of people that take care of people in need. But one of them that really fascinates me is the Homeless Garden Project, because it offers people an opportunity to garden, to get their hands back in the soil, to connect with living things. There's something so elemental in that, Anthony Reyes. I'm sure you know, as the farm manager, when you put your hands into the soil and you sense all the life that's going on in there, it's transformative when you start growing things. And earlier I was joking about watching, coming out of the language lab where I was studying Chinese and sitting on the log and watching the kids work in the garden at the garden up there at University of California, Santa Cruz, and seeing the joy that they were experiencing. And of course, these were kids from very well-to-do homes in Los Angeles or whatnot, learning probably for the first time about that joy. Is that what you found up there?
That is what I found. I feel like I also found that prior to coming to UC Santa Cruz. And one of my like most fond memories, and it's always a smell that brings back a lot of emotions for me. But my grandpa, he would come by. He was a landscaper in Los Angeles, and he would come by once a week, and he would always be using just the two-stroke engine diesel gas oil mixture, and it was like that, the smell of that combustion and the grass clippings and donuts are just like the things that are just really tie me. And whenever I smell specifically that, it just has this really strong feeling in me that's very censoring. And
there it is. So the farm, you have a farm up on the hill at the University of California. What kind of farm is it?
The Natural Bridges one?
The garden project. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are a diversified mixed vegetable and flower operation. We also grow a lot of herbs for our value-added enterprise. And we currently are nearing the end of our production season for our CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. And so we run the Community Supported Agriculture. We also manage a Scholarship Share CSA, in which we're working with 10 partner nonprofits in the community and offering them scholarship CSA shares once a week. And then the really exciting thing that we're embarking on, specifically from the farm enterprise's standpoint, is doing a lot more wholesale and restaurant accounts, which we're seeing as a couple different options as to why we're going into it so strong. But recognizing that the CSA model and the CSA market is starting to become more inflated with a lot of these smaller farmers coming in, and it's
getting some competition.
Lots of competition. And the understanding that we're going to be moving onto more land and trying to find the markets for all the produce that we're going to be getting and getting it into the community. And so we identified the restaurants and a lot of these wholesales as a good way to diversify our markets and to be able to grow. And it also serves our programming beautifully because it provides a more rigorous enterprise where people are learning it and relearning these skills.
Wow. And also, it's an incredible way for the community to support you as well.
Exactly. And it I feel like it also keeps a lot of that, a lot of the food, a lot of the everything that goes into the food within the community. And there is something really special about being able to deliver our produce to a number of restaurants and then see it on the menu and be able to go there and eat it. And it's a really beautiful,
sure,
supportive
way,
loop.
Way of closing the loop there. Mm-hmm. Now, how do restaurants respond to the fact that they're getting food from the Homeless Garden Project? And their customers, what do their customers say?
They all love it. I mean, the Homeless Garden Project, we have a very, very high standards of all the produce that'll be going out of our farm into the community. And one of the things that I really appreciate about our production coordinator, lead farmer, he goes by many different titles and many different names, an absolutely lovely, lovely human, but he sees a lot of the produce that we're making and sending out in the community as a way of sending a message and a way of breaking down a lot of the stigmas over, specifically some of the stigmas around homelessness or, you know, I even hesitate saying it because it doesn't ring true for my experience, but just that the laziness and inability or to work, and it's whenever we're sending this high quality produce out in the community, it's sending a larger message. And to have people support that and to have all of these restaurants be so supportive and loving of not only the quality of produce that's coming in, but the relevance behind it and everything that a bunch of carrots holds is really special.
You know, that's one of the wonderful things about farming is that what you put out is really who you are. There's no fooling there. I mean, you might be able to fool somebody into thinking that your organic carrot, your inorganic carrot is an organic carrot, but sooner or later people find out. And so when you put out good food, that says that there's a good person behind it, and vice versa, you know. So no fooling there. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what color you are, what sex you are. Doesn't matter anything. When you put out good food, you're a good person. And there, take that world, right? So, you got a pretty interesting operation. You're going to be expanding it by a factor of almost 300%. You're going to be putting out a lot more food. You're going to be putting it out to a lot more people. So you got a big task. Now, who would think that a 9-acre farm is a big farm? But it is, isn't it?
It definitely is, especially once you start adding on all of the different programs that we're running. And what's really beautiful and wonderful about how this site is being developed is that it's being developed with the program and the participants and the community being at that center of all of our developments and all of our thoughts and all of
what
our
do you
conversations.
Mean?
Well, it's thinking about specifically for the farm design and like how we're looking to be moving things around there. It's really looking at designing a production system that's going to be able to benefit our specific needs with the program and looking to a lot of the program participants to provide some of that feedback over like what systems will make it easiest for us to effectively run a program and effectively welcome the community in.
So what you're saying is that you actually have the people who are working on the farm, which is, in a sense, are your clients. They're helping you design this.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my hopes. We're not like quite at that space right now. And it's always something that I'm always asking questions and looking for feedback and really interrogating what I'm doing on the farm every single day and how I can be doing it better, and more collaboratively with all of the folks around me.
There you go. Well, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with Anthony Reyes from the Santa Cruz Homeless Garden Project. How to make the homeless not homeless anymore by giving them the means to work their way out of it. Right back. Please do stay tuned. We're going to talk about the people when we get back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, folks, those of you who have listened to me for a while, you know that I preach that we should always try to find some food with its farmer's face on it, because we can look in that farmer's eyes and know what's in the food. And that's what we're talking about today is people in need finding a way to be the farmer of that food, and the transformative impact of working with your hands in the soil, bringing life out of that soil and bringing it to people, and being able to look in their eyes and say, I did this, and having people look back and say, it's delicious. So, Anthony, you've been up at, how long have you been up at the farm or at the Homeless Garden Project?
I've been there a year and about 9 months.
Okay, you've seen people come and go then.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Can you tell us a story of one of the people who have made you smile?
I feel like every day. Every day. Specifically there's one that comes to mind, and it wasn't even so much of something that he said, but something that he wrote on a card. We send all these cards around for the organization for everything, and so one of the things in my job description is a professional card signer and writer, and so we had this card going around for Boss's Day, and One of our crew members wrote something in there that was just really striking and powerful, and I'm still sitting on it and thinking about all of its implications. But it was defining what a leader is and like how to see a leader. I'm going to be paraphrasing this, but he said something to the or he wrote something to the accord of, a leader is not one you want or you like following, but it's somebody you feel confident standing alongside. And that really, really resonated with me and made
you smile.
So happy.
You got a smile on your face. Yeah, there you go.
And it's because that's exactly what I really want to be trying to emulate on the farm. It's that I don't want, While there are these hierarchies that exist within a workplace, I want people to know that we're all working alongside each other. And there's something really powerful about sitting in the soil and everybody working as equals alongside each other and breaking down all of these systems of oppression that exist outside and being in a space where people can feel wholly themselves and like... just comfortable and be able to sit with that.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you the tough question. Can you tell us a story of somebody who broke your heart?
On the farm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's... absolutely. There's a lot of... And it goes so along with the reality of what happens after people leave the project, because it's a beautiful space and it's a very supportive environment, and it's also the world outside the farm is still the same world that people were coming out of.
Still the jungle.
It's still the jungle, and so it's I think the most heartbreaking things are when I see people still having struggles and still having to deal with some of those same challenges, not because of who they are or how hard they're trying or everything that they're putting forth and everything that they're bringing, but more because of the system that they're existing in is just so biased and unjust. And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing, and it's...
Yeah. How many people can you help up there at one time or on the Homeless Garden Project? You're at 3 acres now. You're going to 9 acres. But there's a lot of people in this little town of ours who seemingly need help. How many can you help at one time on the farm, on the garden? Is it a garden or a farm? It's a farm.
Yeah,
it's a farm. You can't call it a garden anymore. It's a farm.
Yeah, yeah. We're on a farm, and we always try to get everybody on the crew to just acknowledge that it's their farm, and it's as much as it is mine, it's everybody's. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? How many people?
Yeah. How many people do you have working on the garden farm?
So
garden?
At any given time, the crew. The crew will consist of roughly 17 people, rolling enrollment in the program, so we're able to best meet people when they're coming at us with their at a time of need or like at a time of support. Mm-hmm. And
how do they come to you?
A lot of times by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of there's also a lot of recruitment that gets done in outreach into a lot of the local organizations, and we have partners within a lot of the homeless service organizations in the community as well. Mm-hmm. And once we're expanding, so we're working it with 17 now, but we're hoping to expand the program to be working with 50 people on the crew, stably on the crew throughout the year. But I think how many people we help is so much larger than that, and that's only looking at the crew members themselves and not looking at how the farm and how that experience touches all the different community members who come onto the site and all of the different staff people and
all the people you feed.
Groups. Exactly.
So everybody gets a little hit all the way down the food chain, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if you're eating at a restaurant and you see on the menu these carrots from the Homeless Garden Project, and you eat those carrots and you think, I'm helping somebody help themselves. Wow. Just think about this, folks. Pretty interesting when it gets right down to it. 9 acres, 50 people. Wow. Now, is there an application process? How did they apply, or they have a resume, or how does that work?
Yeah, there is an application process. A lot of times folks will stop by the farm or stop by the office, and we'll have applications ready for them there. And other than that, we ask them to volunteer for a day just so we can try things on mutually, and the resumes are something that comes through the program. It's mm-hmm. something that we work with folks to...
So you actually help them develop their own resumes then?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's quite a service.
Yeah.
So then people come to you with pretty much nothing, and they leave with a sense of themselves and a resume to go along with it.
Yeah, I always appreciate the term self-efficacy.
And that's really quite something. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking about how it's possible to help people help themselves, develop their own self-sustenance by working in the soil of the farm at the Santa Cruz Homeless Garden Project here in California. How long has the farm been going? How old is it now?
We have been in operation since 1990.
Wow. There you go. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, it can't always go right. Something has to go wrong once in a while. Anthony, what happens when you get a bad apple that just can't be made to fit into the teamwork of a farm?
Well, we have to deal with it right then and there. Like, there's there are definitely times on the farm where things escalate to a point where we need to step in, and for the most part, it's the farm is really harmonious, but there are
times. You have 17 people working side by side, not all of them are going to get along, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those. That's also a job skill to be able to teach, and it's really seen as a teachable moment. It's like, you're not always gonna get along with the people that you work alongside with, but you have to learn to work alongside with them. And so it's an opportunity for us to come and interrogate that specific interaction, or like see where it's coming from and how the crew members can work through it to be able to work alongside each other.
So it's kind of like a gift to you then, and to them. So when something goes wrong, you can have a conversation and perhaps work things through. And in doing that, teach them that they can work things through instead of coming to blows or coming to an impasse. They can actually work things through. That's probably a huge skill.
Yeah, yeah, a huge one that I feel everybody still has a lot to learn with.
Certainly around the radio station, we come to that once in a while as well. But I suspect everybody in the workplace has to come to grips with the fact that they're going to have to work with somebody that they can't quite get along with once in a while. So how do you come to grips with that? And you've managed to work. Now, let me ask you this. You must be competing with a lot of the local commercial farms. Do they see you as an unfair competition?
You know, I don't think they do. A lot of the local farms, where we have really good relationships with a lot of the local farms, and one of the things that we're trying to do is carve out and figure out what that specific niche for us is. And the other thing that I always think about is that there's always enough food to go around. It's just how that food is being allocated and how it's being sourced, and if there's something that we can do to be able to change the way people are thinking about food, or like the way people are purchasing food. And I see that as like a large niche of what a nonprofit farm can do.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my notion too. All we have to do is start buying food with its farmer's face on it, and the whole world will work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be more farmers and more food, and the food will be good. And when we eat good food from good people, chances are we'll be good too. Simplistic, I know, but is there any other way?
That is a complicated question. At the end of the day, it's like I see agriculture and the vegetable as a vehicle that will drive social change. And once you start having that idea behind every single radish that's coming out of the ground or arugula that you're cutting, it creates this whole different image over how you're marketing your produce, how you and your entire crew is looking at a simple act of planting a seed and or purchasing a seed and looking at how radical that choice can be and how that can permeate through the food system.
Now, do your clients, which is to say the people who come to the Homeless Garden Project to work, when you talk to them about social justice, does that ring true to them? Does that ring their bell, or do they look at you like your mother would say, you owe your life to McDonald's?
I think it does ring true to them, because it's you know, it's all it's really doing is bringing out that personal narrative, and it's finding where in their story these different social injustices are showing up. And so I think the most powerful way that you can be interrogating and speaking about social justice is through people's own lived experiences and narratives. And I think once we start engaging with that, it becomes a lot more digestible.
So to speak?
So to speak, yeah.
Okay. Is it hard for them to come to grips with the fact that they must pull themselves together?
For the most part,
I mean, you're giving them the opportunity to pull themselves together, but they must do the pulling.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the huge key behind the entire program. It's that all we're doing is facilitating these spaces and providing the opportunities and the resources that might otherwise not be available. And it really is up to the individual to identify that and be invested in their own growth or their own path forward, whatever that looks like. So it's yeah, they're the ones who are really at the the helm of their ship, like guiding where they're going. And at the end of the day, they're the ones who make all of those decisions. And so that's one of the reasons why it's such a successful and a beautiful project.
Okay, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to ask the big question to Anthony Reyes, who is the farm manager for the Santa Cruz Homeless Garden Project, a project, a task with an objective. Do stay tuned. We will be right back after these messages.
So much to say, so little time to say it. On the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Yes, we have so much to talk about and so little time to talk about it in. But as long as we have Anthony Reyes with us, who is the farm manager for the Homeless Garden Project, I want to ask him about where he sees the intersection of social justice and farming. Because you came looking for social justice, and you found yourself a farmer. Wow. Now, let me have it.
Yeah, so where that intersection is, I think it's everywhere. And it's just teasing out those details behind every little action. And the way my philosophy behind agriculture and the way I see farming and agriculture is the cultivation and maintenance of various relationships. And what that looks like is really complex. And so when I'm thinking of the intersection, I'm thinking of the entire, what does it mean to have a system and a world in which everybody is actually equal and we're actually able to have an egalitarian system? And what does that look like? Because a lot of the current systems are prohibitive of that and restricting, and so it's more looking at how do
probably
we,
all of them are when it gets right, right down to it.
And it's also the understanding that a lot of these things are not things that we personally put into place, but are systems that are inherited, and understanding that and acknowledging that we are inheriting a lot of these systems, and we have the power to be able to change that path and alter where that path is going.
Okay, so Anthony, what happens when people who are truly in need, emotionally in need, what happens to them when they put their hands in the soil and start bringing life back out of that soil?
I see a really large shift. Just in how I saw with myself as well when I first put my hands in the soil. But there's something so censoring about working alongside people and working towards this common goal of providing sustenance. And sustenance in so many definitions of what that can word mean, what that word can mean. And just the opportunity of specifically one thing I'm thinking of is with the flowers. And we've had numerous crew members comment over just the beauty of the flowers and the symbolism behind the blossoming flower after planting the seed and having all of these really small tasks lead up to something so magical and so beautiful and so centering. And I think it's a lot of those really small interactions that have these really large meanings for people. And you never really know what is going to be that tipping point.
Well, do you think we should have homeless garden projects throughout the United States?
I would love to see that. I absolutely do.
Well, folks, I guess we can make it happen if we try really hard. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio Program with Anthony Reyes, who's the farm manager of the Homeless Garden Project. How do we get in touch with you, Anthony?
You can stop by the farm anytime in Santa Cruz.
If you're in Santa Cruz.
If you're in Santa Cruz. You can also email me.
What's the web address?
The web address is homelessgardenproject.org.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Remember Michael Olson's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. See you next week.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.